I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's 9:25 a.m. April 9th, 2009. Sorry for the delay, we just, it's that time of year where we're juggling lots of balls and trying to stay on schedule. With me today is Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, and Senator Huggins, and myself, Senator Stedman, Senator Hoffman. And my co-chair is in the building. He's detained in another meeting, and he'll be joining us shortly. Today we have two bills on the agenda. We have Senate Bill 96, Child Support, Cash Medical Support, followed by Senate Bill 183, Grant Authority for Air Quality. And we are going to start today with Senate Bill 96, Child Support, Cash Medical Support. This is the second hearing on this bill. It was heard for the first time on March 30th. The intent today is to introduce the committee substitute and see the will of the committee. And may we have a motion, Senator Ellis, to adopt version P, please.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt the version P committee substitute for Senate Bill number 96 as the item before us.
Okay, we have a motion to adopt version P as our working document, and I'll object for discussion. Senator Davis, could you please kind of give us a brief rundown on the bill, and then address the CS changes, please, if you could.
I'm just getting a copy of the CS, but I'm going to let Linda, my staff, give the information on that. We do have the department people here to answer any questions that need to be answered.
And could you introduce yourself for the record?
Sorry about that. I'm sorry. I'm Senator Betty Davis, District K.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Ogg, would you like to speak to the bill in the CS, please?
Certainly. I'm Linda Zog, staff to Senator Davis. The change in this CS really represents just a definition of legislative intent that basically says, that the language is being changed to conform with the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, as approved by the American Bar Association. And that is my understanding is that is the only change in this particular CS from what is currently before the committee.
Just say what the bill is.
And if I can just review very briefly the bill, Senate Bill 96, the bill is designed to bring Alaska in compliance with the federal regulations so that our Child Support Enforcement Division can continue to receive federal funds. And it represents a change in adding two things to the bill, which would be Indian tribes under definition of state, and I believe for more clarification, we may want to bring forward the folks from Child Support Enforcement Division.
Any questions? Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Senator Davis, and the presenter. That this appears to me to be a very good bill and rational. On one point, and it may have some technicalities that I'm not aware of, it essentially has some terms like required state, the federal government does, and states must order either parent. And then you come down to the part on tribal, and it says that we give the authority. Is that because if we don't have the authority to order them, for lack of a better term, which you use in your sponsor statement, how can we give them authority if we can't order them? I guess would be my question.
Mr. Chairman, would it be okay if we ask the Department of Revenue to come up?
Well, go ahead and see if there's a department representative here. wants to speak to the bill?
And if not, they have somebody online.
No, they're, you've got that under control. We have a representative here.
Thank you, Committee Chairman and members. My name is Ginger Blaisdell. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Revenue. Online is John Maloney, who is the Director of the Child Support Services Division, and Peter Putzier, who is the tribal attorney in the Attorney General's office, and Stacy Steinberg, who deals with child support services issues. And I think probably where your question is leading, Senator Huggins, would probably be answered best by the Department of Law, and if one of them can respond to you, that'd be great.
So, okay, Senator Huggins?
I guess, is Department of Law is available?
Right, they should be online.
Online,
okay.
They're at
so
the
we'll need, there's two. Maybe they can pick whoever wants to come online and help us with a question. And after they identify themselves, please.
Through the chair, this is Stacy Steinberg. I'm the Chief Assistant Attorney General for the Collections and Support Section of the Attorney General's Office. And part of my job is representing the agency in court proceedings and giving advice to the the Child Support Services Division. Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I'm not sure that I understand your question. If you could maybe direct me to the section of the bill that you're referring to.
Right. I'm reading the sponsor statement, and it talks about, in the first part, it says the federal government requires states to have guidelines addressing. And then you go down further, and I'll read to you. Under the federal regulations, states must order either or both parents to purchase reasonably priced, it goes on about health insurance. You go down to the next paragraph, it says, this bill adds to existing law the authority for a tribal to order either or both parents to pay cash medical support. I guess my question is very simply, if he says you have to order them to do it, it's one thing, and then in the other case it says you will give them the authority, and I guess I'm just trying to figure out what we're doing and why we're doing it with those words.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I'm looking for the sponsor statement right now because I'm concerned that maybe there's a misstatement in the sponsor statement. There's kind of really three distinct parts of the current bill. One deals with the cash medical support, which I believe you're referring to, and under the federal regulations that were passed summer, states have to add to their laws the ability for court or the agency, whichever tribunal is setting the support order, to order either parent or both parents to provide for cash medical support. And the reference referring to that, the reference to existing authority is that we already have existing authority in our statutes for the court or the agency when setting a child support order to provide for medical support, and what that refers to is whether the tribunal has to consider whether either parent or both parents have health insurance available. So what this current bill does is it adds to that existing authority for courts or the agency to deal with medical support. This would just add that, so in addition to health insurance, the court or CSSD can consider cash medical support. A separate part of the bill deals with adding an Indian tribe to the definition of state in our Uniform Interstate Family Support Act. That is separate from the cash medical support bill. And I'm still trying to look through my file to look at the sponsor statement so I could look directly at the wording that you're referring to.
Yeah, the sponsor statement is on the first page. In the first line of the second paragraph is the part I'm talking about. It says, adds to the existing law the authority.
If you just, through the chair, if you give me just a second, if I could maybe just look through my file. Have it.
Senator Huggins, could you repeat where that location is, please?
Yes, on page one of the sponsor statement Bravo, in the second paragraph on the first line, starts with this bill.
Okay.
Maybe Mr. or Senator Huggins, you could read that sentence for those watching at home while they, the Department of Law digs through their paperwork.
Yes, yes, ma'am. I will read you the sentence, and it may be just semantics, but in one case, in the paragraph above, it talks about states must order. And then in the second paragraph, it says, this bill adds to existing law the authority for a tribal to order either or both parents to pay cash medical support. And those appear to be incongruent. And maybe there's a legal technicality, that's just the way it is.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I have found the sponsor statement in my file. I believe there may be a typographical error. The sponsor statement that I'm looking for, the sentence says, this bill adds to existing law the authority for a tribunal to order either or both parents to pay cash medical support if warranted. So the word is not tried, it's a tribunal.
I'm sorry, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. I stand corrected. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and just to clarify for the record, we refer to tribunal because under Alaska law, the court system has the authority that child support orders, and in certain circumstances, the agency has the authority to set an administrative child support order through their procedures. So that's why we refer to tribunal. The other way to refer to it is either the court or CSSD, but we just use tribunal to cut down on the number of words.
Yeah, thank you very much for the clarification. I stand corrected.
Other questions for the bill sponsor or the administration? So, Ms. Bladesdale, does the administration support this bill?
Yes, it does.
Well, seeing no further questions, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the CS. The CS is adopted. We'll go ahead and I see that there's one person on the sign-up list, Bob Loescher. You can come forward. Mr. Loescher, you've been here numerous times and know the drill, but if you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and we've already had a public hearing on this bill, but seeing that we've had you show up to testify, I thought we'd give you the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make it very short. My name is Bob Loescher. I represent the Central Council of the Tlingit-Haida Indians of Alaska, a federally recognized tribe representing 26,000 tribally enrolled members. And we just would like to go on the record is that we support the CS. That is before you. That includes the words Indian Tribe and U.S. Virgin Islands, and we support the intent language, and we understand that this recognition is for the purpose of inclusion in our work as Alaskans for the Uniform Child Support Act. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for coming in. Senator Davis, would you like to come forward, please? We have any questions for the bill sponsor? Do we? It's the will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for Senate Bill 96 /EP with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay, we have a motion to move the bill version P, the individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Note, do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee and take up the next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and committee.
We'll take up the next item of labor, Senate Bill 183, Grant Authority for Air Quality. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent is to introduce the bill and take public testimony. And then, and to present the bill, we have a representative from my staff, Mr. Peterson. Mr. Peterson, if you can introduce yourself and who you represent and walk the committee through this bill, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Darwin Peterson, staff to Senator Stedman. Senate Bill 183 provides the statutory authority for the Department of Environmental Conservation to grant funds for the control of air emissions or the development or administration of air quality control programs in the state. The committee recalls the hearing on Senate Bill 161, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. This was one of the Department of Environmental Conservation appropriation in that legislation. And during that hearing, the department came to the committee and requested that we introduce this legislation to give them the authority to receive and expend those grants if the administration accepts that appropriation in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. So at their request, we did introduce this legislation. It's verbatim that the department had requested. During the Senate Bill 161 hearing, the department gave us this fact sheet explaining what they would do with these funds and who qualifies. And on the second page of that fact sheet is the request for this legislation, and this legislation before you is verbatim for their request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any questions. We also have the department here to answer specifics about how they intend to use these funds if they receive them.
And Mr. Peterson, what happens if we enact this legislation and the American Recovery Act funds are declined?
Mr. Chairman, if the funds are not accepted by the administration, this legislation would, if the governor signs this legislation, would remain on the books, and if future federal funds are appropriated to the state and the state accepts those funds, then this statutory grant authority would exist for them to go ahead and receive and expend those grant funds.
And that is, this is the Do No Harm bill?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. If this bill passes and the federal funds in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act are not accepted, that there would be no negative impact to the state.
Okay. I mean, we have a representation from the administration, Ms. Edwards. And is the department in support of this bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we support this.
Could you introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Alice Edwards. I'm the Acting Director for the Division of Air Quality for the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, in answer to your question, the department does support this, especially if this body chooses to support the stimulus funds under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act.
And you're of the conclusion that this is a do-no-harm legislation? It'll have no impact if we do not receive the funds?
That's correct.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Air quality has been one of the issues that has plagued the Red Dog Mine. What is this bit of legislation going to go ahead and do to some of the issues that have been raised in the last several years related to air quality coming out of the mine?
This legislation would not necessarily specifically address that issue. However, if we had the ability to grant these funds under a competitive process, if an entity such as the Red Dog Mine had diesel equipment that they wished to control emissions from, they could apply for these funds and be eligible to perhaps make some improvements to their equipment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is along the same lines. In Section B, lines 10 and 11, it says the department may adopt regulations under AS 44.62 to carry out the purposes of this section. Is that meaning that they can adopt regulations specific to awarding of grants? That are understanding that that's specifically what it's for, not developing other regulations that might be something to the purview of what air quality might be required.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, that's correct. This would pertain to adopting regulations related to issuing grants, not for other purposes.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I recall we went through this protracted debate over low sulfur production, transportation, And now we, it appears to me, at least my humble opinion, that we're now taking low sulfur diesel and hauling it up the haul road. Went through great machinations to come to that decision, which I thought was archaic. But be that as it may, it appears to me still that the issue is about diesel emissions, and it perplexes me why we'd be here wondering whether or not we're going to receive grants or money for grants that would help us address diesel emissions. So my question is, are you aware of any timeline, not later than timeline, and maybe a decision point on that timeline when the answer is going to be yes or no? Because I mean, I think Alaskans just want to know yes or no, and they'll walk away and say, okay, there's probably some good reason for that, when the yes or no question will be answered.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I'm not sure I completely understand your question. Are you asking about yes
stimulus
or
no? Money.
Oh, stimulus
money?
Are
we going to say yes or no to stimulus money?
Can you repeat your question for me?
Right.
I apologize.
Right. There is money that's on the table for stimulus. This bill addresses in your agency and its ability to receive that stimulus money. And the question that still, even if we pass this legislation, is when is your organization, administration, going to make the decision, yes or no, to receive the stimulus money for this function?
Senator Huggins, I don't know the answer to that question. I know I can say that we have preserved our ability to accept this funds. We have submitted a grant application per the federal timelines to accept a grant from EPA to preserve our ability to take this money. So assuming that these bodies through this process determine that this funding should be appropriated, then I'm assuming it will be, the actual acceptance of that fund would be handled through the governor's office as the rest of the money would.
Can we take action on this bill next January or February and not risk the state not receiving these funds, or is this time sensitive where we want this to final conclusion by next Sunday night?
Mr. Chair, if we do not take action now, the stimulus funds have to be expended by September 30th, 2010. It would be unlikely that we could award, without the ability to award grants, it would hamper our ability to actually get the funding out and do the work that the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act envisions happening with those funds.
I think the frustration that apparently you end up being the point person for Department of Environmental Conservation on air quality, but in the aggregate, the challenge we have here at the committee is to know which pieces of this legislation need to move forward in a timely manner so we don't miss out on the opportunity of some of the stimulus money that's in the best interest of the state, or we move forward a piece of legislation that has a large fiscal note, which this one does not. But some of them have fiscal notes that are sizable, and we put the state in a precarious position of having that fiscal note flow against the general fund instead of being offset by federal revenue. So it makes it more difficult for us to make good policy decisions. We have any other questions for the? Okay, we don't have anybody on the sign up. I think so. What we're going to do is, we're going to set this bill aside, even though it's got a zero fiscal note, appears to be a do no harm piece of legislation to allow us to accept stimulus. But I'm hesitant to bring a piece of legislation up and then on the same day move it from committee, as sometimes there's things that surface. So we'll set this aside for further analysis and maybe look at bringing it back at a later date. That concludes our labor for today. Our next meeting is tomorrow, 9 a.m., April 10th, 9 a.m., April 10th. Just want to remind everybody that's listening that we are on the 24-hour rule. In layman's terms, that means we don't have to have several days' notice to hear a bill. We can post the bill and hear it. So stay tuned to the agenda, as it will change from day to day, and we'll try to keep the committee members informed of the schedule and what's coming so everybody's prepared as we move on to the next or the final days of this session. If there's any other questions from the committee members, meeting adjourned.